大金鸡 is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. There is only one way for you. Just believe when you call on His name. Blessed be the holy name, Heavenly Father. We praise you this morning as we gather now, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your great love for us again. And we thank you for this day one more time, Father, a day again to live and breathe. Know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, a day, Lord, nearer to His return, Father. And we look forward, Lord, to His return. For the days, O Lord, of mankind is far spent now, and there is but a short time left, and we know, Lord, all the events that we see now in the Middle East, Lord, especially, they're trying again to set a peace, Lord. It has been a long time. They have tried. But the enemies, O Lord, try to assail against Thy children of Israel, to push them, O Lord, into the sea. But Lord, we know it's time for them, O Lord, to be recognized as the people of God one more time. As it was foretold of old, Lord, that Jerusalem shall be the capital city, and the temples, O Lord, will be set up. So, Lord, the time is now near, Lord, for the coming of our Lord and Savior to take His Gentile bride. And then, Lord, the gospel will then go back to the Jew, to your people, O Lord. So, Father, we commit this time to you now. Even as we see the day for us approaching now, Lord, our need to examine ourselves as often as possible, Lord. We come worship the Lord, to worship your great name, to remember our Redeemer, and also, Lord, to get an insight into your word of life, that, Lord, we may gain our strength, Father, because in there is the joy of that truth that set us free, knowing who we are and what you are, Lord. So, Father, bless today's little message of life. We ask that you help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. If you have the Bible, go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. Today, that's a lot of verses to turn to today, because it's just a simple message, but I just want to refer to Scripture so you can have a bearing of what I'm going to speak about. This is a message that I have preached back in 1981. Some of you were not even born yet. Those were the days when, 10 years after I came to the message. And so it was one day back in that time, in 1981, that I was reading, sitting down, reading my Bible and thinking about certain things about the parable. That somehow the Lord gave me this parable, asked me to write a parable and preach on it, because in the Bible we have many parables, and many of these parables are very related one to another, very closely. So here was a parable the Lord gave me. But let us read the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. And we have many verses to read, as I tell you that. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went our soul to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on the stony ground, where he had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and yielded fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that have an ear to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 basket, with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said to them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sowed the word, and all on this are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but having no root in themselves, and so endure but for the time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, and such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 34, some 60, and some 100-fold. So now this is one of the basic parables that we know. We can find also in the book of Matthew 13. Now this simple parable, the disciples don't even understand it. And as I said this before, Jesus asked them, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand the rest of the parable? For this parable is the key to all the other parables, because this is the beginning of what the sowing of the seed is. And what is found. And so if you can understand the meaning of this seed and the sower and those that receive it, then you understand the rest of the parable that will follow. Because that is the beginning of your having the seed of life for you to understand. As the disciples at that particular time, remember they have not the Holy Spirit. They did not receive the Holy Spirit as that we have today being born again. So as Bob put it this way, if a man is not born again, if he does not have the Holy Ghost, baptism, if he does not have the Spirit of God, how can he understand the Word of God? That's obviously very true. You know? So we know that when we understand the parable, then we begin to understand the rest. To understand a parable, we need to have the Spirit. So Christ here began to expound it to the disciple. Alright, here he breaks it down for them. Now the rest of the other parable that you see in scripture, Jesus Christ did not break it down. So, in this very first step, the disciples were with him. They were given the explanation about this. So later on, when they became apostles, when they had the Holy Ghost baptism, then they would be able to understand those parables. Now, they did not write about all those other parables that Jesus spoke of, right? You don't see it in scripture. But today we can understand what those parables mean. You see, in those days you can't without the Holy Ghost. You see. So while I was looking at this parable in those days, back in the 80s, then here the Lord gave me a parable, said, take this parable, write this parable down, and then give a little exposition on it. It's very similar and parallel, but we are taking in the day of modern context of what we are looking at in the kingdom of heaven. As the Bible has just taught the parable, later on, as you know, in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, there is nothing mentioned about the kingdom of heaven. But in the next other parable, the kingdom of heaven came in. Okay? So now, this parable was given to me, so I'm going to read this parable to you. Then we're going to go using this parable, compare with other parables, a lot of the scripture. The parable here, the title of the message this morning is actually conception and birth. A parable of conception and birth. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto five women who had conceived seeds in their womb. And one, after several weeks, her seed was aborted. And three had seats that kick and lift with joy and gladness. But when natural threats came, one had a miscarriage. A seed dropped off, having no strong attachment to the womb. The seeds of the others were able to hold on. Yet at the time of birth, one seed was choked by his own cord and became unfruitful, while the other lived on with defects. The last and the fifth woman had seed that came forth at birth, whole and yielding life and fruits unto her. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear and understand. So let us go now. Here is five women. Okay, we have simple parable. All this woman conceived seed in the, they were pregnant. And one of the women, after several weeks, her seed was aborted. Okay, after a few weeks, the fetus was there, but the fetus was gone. And then the other three women had seed. The other three women had seed that, you know, after several months, they can feel the kicking of the little ones in her, in their womb. And they were leaping and kicking with joy. But when natural threats came, one of them had miscarriage. Some people carry a child for maybe 7, 6, 8 months, whatever happened. Suddenly there was a miscarriage and the baby just collapsed. And then the other two, of course, had the seed hold on. The seed still hold to the womb very well. Yet at the time of birth, one of the woman gave birth, and the seed, when the baby came out of the womb, it was choked by its own cord. And being choked by its own cord, the baby died. Alright. And therefore became unfruitful. And the other one that came out was born with defects. Some defects of the body. The only one that lived and bring much fruit is the last woman whose seed came for a healthy baby. And seed bring much joy to the woman and bring much fruit to her. So now let us look at Mark 4, verse 24 and 5. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now here I'm talking about here the warning here Jesus gave about parables, how we hear parables. My parable is about conception and birth. Now we know about what conception is. We need to understand what conception is. And we know what to understand what is birth. So a lot of people, you know, they think that, well, conception means life. But it's not really so. So now let's take a look at the first case. The first one we have in this parable of mine. And one after several weeks, her seed was aborted. It's just very similar to chapter 4 in the first parable that Jesus gave. It says when the seed, the one that seed fell on the wayside. And having no, they found a wayside. What happened is that there is no soil, no earth. And the plow came along and just picked the seed out and it's gone. So similarly, it is the same as this woman with this one seed. She conceived this seed. A day, 2 days, 3 days, the cell began to form, you know, into a tiny little fetus. And then after that, it's gone. You see. And many women, of course, in real life, natural life, physically they do have this problem. Just like Tracy had this, we lost our second one after I don't remember how many weeks actually. And there was no sign, all this, and then suddenly, you know, they was gone. You see. And so, if it doesn't hold to the womb, you cannot continue to live it. So here we have Satan came and took it, of course, as we sing the song, and the Satan came and took the words from the hearts of men. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. The soul went forth to sow, and here we all can hear the word of God being preached. But there are many there because there is no earth in them. They are just laying on the wayside. There are many people just like that.
here for a little while and think, wow, that's a good message, that's a good sermon. Many of the people that go to church today are the same. You know, they go to church for what purpose? Like I said this many times, and you heard me say many times, I have friends, when I was working back in those days, you know, knowing that I was a Christian, talking to them about the gospel, I said, oh yeah, I went to church too, I went to Novena. You know what Novena is, right? The Catholic church down in Thompson Road is, that's very common, alright? I went to Novena, I go there to look for girls, you see. So that is the purpose, to go there to look for girls, you know. And of course, today we have charismaticism everywhere in Singapore. And charismaticism is a gospel, and I say this, and I always telling you this. Charismaticism is a very dangerous denomination. It's an organization that is not the move of God. But people think that it is, because why? It projects the image that it is Christian. You understand? People go to church with the Bible. They go there to sing the gospel song with all this rock music going on. And they'll jump and they shout for joy. You see? But many people, if you take away the rock music, those bands, the way that they play, remove them. Play simple music. I can tell you a lot of young people will not go. They went there for the music. They go there like they're going to a rock concert. Because why? They are there for the social attachment to one another. That's what they wanted to be, to have. So you remove that, they won't be there. And it has been proven, the survey, as I said, years ago they took a survey. Even after they have been asked a question, they said, oh, I'm a Christian, this and that. And the final question put forth to them, all those that proclaim that they believe in the gospel. As they were asked this final question, what happens as you grow old, after maybe 20, 30 years, will you still hold on to what you believe now? Say, well, maybe, the answer may be quite a number of them say, maybe when I grow old, I may turn secular. When you confess your faith like that, your faith in this way, you when you utter a statement like that, that when you grow old, you may turn secular, that means to say what? What you are having now is only a mental conception. It is not the real thing. It's just in your mind, in your head. The gospel is not something that is mental. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sin. Yes. I know He died on the cross. He shed His blood for my sin. I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe that He is my Savior. Yes, I believe the Word of God is, the Bible is the Word of God. You can say all this. Yes, 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 yes. That is, all these are in the head, are only in your mind, not in your heart. There is no life. You see? So this is what we have. Satan came, the first thing is that there was that just nice message, nice gospel message, nice sermon, and then after he walked off, Satan just took it away. Now today, when we talk about conception and birth, now let us look into the physical side of it. Now we know, being that we are in a message, believe in this message, we know better what soul is all about. Huh? Now you know in Hollywood, in all these fiction stories, horror stories, vampirism, werewolfism, zombieism, whatever, all this, okay? They are supposed to be people, or creature, monster, or deformed human that have no soul. Do you know that a vampire has no soul? And that's why when a vampire in the story, when they look into the mirror, they cannot see an image. Okay, because there's no soul. You see, neither does the werewolf. The werewolf has no soul. I know all this because I used to read them. I was a horror freak, you know, in those days. I read all those things in a whole group of books and all, and then reading them in the middle of the night just to have an adrenaline rush. You know. You see, all these are just the concept of what, you know, imagination of man. But now when we talk about soul, when does a human being said to have soul? You know? Now, because we understand the message now, because Brother Abraham give us an enlightenment, give us the understanding. You know, sometimes it just As the Bible says, take him how he is. You know, it's not just he said a statement, and we say, amen, to that, say it's true. No. Whether that statement actually have biblical basis. Then when we just, again, reason with the Lord's word, as the Bible says, God says, come reason with me. So when we look at him, God, the Spirit of God, will be able to teach us. Now, if a baby in the mother's womb has a soul, then when did the soul begin? You know? So this is what I've been discussing with many of my friends in the past. You know? It's a baby of a soul. You cannot abort it. You cannot do this to it and all, whatever it is, you know? And the baby died in the mother's womb. It's going to heaven. You know, that's always been said because of what we read in the Bible, that Jesus, the children came to Jesus, right? Remember how Jesus said, do not forsake the children to come unto me, right? Because their angel behold the Father's face in heaven. So they said, well, you know, if all these baby children die, their soul will go to heaven. But that's not what it is. But this is a doctrine propagated. It is not by the Roman Catholic Church. It must be from some other organization. They always feel that the young people will go to heaven, old folks will go to heaven. In between, we are the one that need to have the Lord Savior. Right? Oh, kill little girl, kill little boy, you know? Innocent little child. Old lady walking down the street, you know, with the three legs, you know, all slowly going down. You know, old man going down, oh, so old and so frail, you know, so kind, all this. This, the old one and the young one going to heaven. We in the middle, we are finished. We have to make sure we go to heaven. So, want to go to heaven? Grow old. That may be the idea of the concept. That's why he said, oh, look at this. The Pope, he's so old, such a kind man, such a holy man. Look at Mother Teresa. Right? The very basic thing is that it's not about good work, it's about whether they are born again. You see? So, when did that soul begin? When does it, fetus in a woman, have a soul? Huh? If you look at the beginning of life, all you have is a sperm cell and an egg cell. They merge together, and then these gametes begin to fuse together, and then it multiplies again, spring to 2, then to 4, right, into 8, 16, 36, 32, 64, 1, 2, 8, and so on and so on. Right. So when does the soul begin? Well, it's just a lump of cells, it's just a ball of cells, like Rubik's Cube. Multiplying all the cells in it, right? He hasn't formed into a head yet. Then suddenly, after several days, 2 weeks, whoop, you can see a little round dark spot there. And it looks like a little tadpole, a little comma. A comma in your book. A little comma. Then it gets bigger, bigger, bigger. And then you see eyes now. See, you've got a mouth, no hands yet, a little tail. Then after that, the little hands begin to come up. When does the soul begin? That's the question I asked my denomination friend. They could not tell me. When? He said, oh, okay, when the 4 year has a head, 2 hands now, 2 legs now, a complete baby, shape of a baby now, after several months. It's a good shape. I think it's 3 months, I believe, it's become the form of a complete little baby. Tiny little one you can hold in your hand. You know? 50 gram, 100 gram. Then it becomes bigger, 200 gram, 300 gram, 400 grams of the growth. When did the soul enter? Huh? And when women feel the baby start to kick, alright, move the arm, you know how those who have a mother would know, huh? Oh, the baby starts to move, and then in the corner, honey, come, feel the baby, see, and then you can see, oh yeah, this, you can see that today, mommy is pushing here, pushing there, it looks kind of weird though. There's a creature, an alien inside there or something, moving up and down. What? That's right! They said, that's right! That there's a soul in the baby, they say. But you know what? If there's a soul in the baby just because it's 8 weeks old, there must be a soul in the baby, in the same child, in the first day when the two cells meet together, wouldn't it? Where must it be after when it's full form or when it starts to move? You see? So that's the question now. The difference between conception and birth. What we have in the human body, therefore, is nothing but a conception. What? Barbara would say, muscle, huh? Cells, huh? Yeah, the muscle moving and the cells growing, you know. But there is no soul yet in the baby. One other good example is that we look at, let us continue first anyway. in the book of Genesis, you know, when God created Adam, Adam was created a spirit. We all know that, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So Adam was first created, therefore, a spirit. But where was the body of Adam? Now Adam was a spirit soul. So the spirit was a spirit soul. He doesn't have a body. Then over in the next chapter, God began to make man out of the dust of the ground. Okay? In chapter 2, verse 7. Now, here when God formed this body, it was a body of dust. Okay? Now, just listen, if you take it and imagine this verse. God take this dust and push it together and take it to a human being. Huh? Of course, what's the color of dust? Of course, the word Adam means from the earth, and Adam from the earth is that part of the earth that is a bit reddish anyway. Reddish, brownish, kind of mixed. Okay, that's what the those people that live in those look like. Okay? So you have this body, so it's on the ground, and it's dusty. It's not like this. Obviously, huh? It's not like this, right? Correct, huh? You agree with me? If we imagine what it is, it's just a dust. You know, and then God poked two holes with his finger in the head and put something inside there, make the eye, whatever you want to imagine, you know. Okay? And maybe ask an angel to paint a fingernail, make it white, or whatever. Okay, just imagine now here you have your body on the ground. Dusty body. Okay? Now, here we have a body, then on the one side we have the spirit. Huh? So what is the soul? The word soul means the manifestation of that particular spirit. So the spirit cannot manifest because it's in a different realm. And here the dust of the body is in this three-dimensional realm. So there was something must go in to make this body move. And when this body began to move, it can function and manifest the life of that spirit that Adam was. You know? Okay? So when the spirit went into this body, as Bible says, he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. Okay? That is actually what it means, huh? The breath of life, the life of Adam to go in there. You see, which is the life that God gave to Adam. So Adam then became a living soul. So that's when the life actually starts. You see, there is a soul there, and there is a body there. So when we have God in the womb, and every one of us, we came from the womb, we are being formed in the womb. As Jeremiah said, my mother's womb was I, you know, conceived. I was formed in my mother's womb, and yet I was wicked. Because why? Genetically. So when the baby came out of my mother's womb, then when the baby started to cry, that's when the light went in. And in simple terms, what Brother Abraham said was very true. Because it is that the breath of life being thrown into the child. Is it take a deep breath of child's cry, and then the spirit, you know, manifests itself. Here the baby starts to cry, now it has a soul. It has a spirit. The soul and spirit, you don't tear them apart. It's the same connecting word, soul, spirit. The baby begins to cry. So that's when we can say the child then has a soul. Because in the first place, the Bible said this. In the book of Genesis, when the flood came, okay, let me just go into the verse, chapter 7, and verse 22, chapter 7, verse 22. All in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. All in whose nostril was the breath of life. That word in Hebrew is nefesh, which means the soul, the life of the person. Okay, it's actually equivalent to the soul, the word soul. So if a baby is born out and does not breathe, there's no nose, the nostril has no life, right? It doesn't breathe. Try to hold your nose, right? Try to pinch your nose and close your mouth and don't breathe and see what happens. You will die. You'll be choked to death because there's no life going in and out. That's why in the Hebrew word ruach and in the Greek word psyche, which actually means the air, the current of air. Huh? Air is life. Wind is life. And the Bible, Jesus, when talking to Nicodemus, he used the word where the spirit moves and where the wind blows, right? It is because that is what it is. It's the same form of words. We need to have some kind of a movement of air, of God's air, God's life, you know, moving, spirit moving in us, or else we cannot have life. So that life enters in. That's why God breathed into Adam, the breath of life. And the only way the life of a person can get in is through his nostrils. So there is this physical understanding of what life is in the physical, and as to what we get in the spiritual, because it is the Spirit of God that moves in us in that form. All right, so they manifest our soul and spirit in this life in the body. You see, so the conception of a child in the mother's womb, it is not birth. And if it's not birth, there's no soul. Okay? Well, the only thing you can say is the soul is waiting to catch the life when it comes out. You see? And those that are born out, of course, they start crying, that is called what we call birth. Really birth. It's alive. Okay? So now, let us go to the next part of the parable here. In my parable, one had a miscarriage. A seed dropped off, having no strong attachment to the womb. One had a miscarriage. Here is the threat of affliction and persecution of mankind. Now there are people that go to church. Many of us who go to church, so-called Christian, I would say, they go to church. And they just listen to the word, but they may be there for a year, 2 years, 3 years. But you know what? When they start to get a little bit of a correction, rebuke, they cannot take it. Persecution may come maybe from the friends, from the family, from the father, from the mother, about them going to church, about him going to church. So being offended, what happened? They dropped off. They don't want to go to church no more. Let us go to Galatians 5. Alright, open your Bible. Don't come to church without your Bible. As I said, we don't go electronic and everything, huh? You know, like some Catholics, everything electronic. I know that this is Jolene is putting it on, but if you want to be a good swordsman of the Lord, then you need to draw a sword. Alright, Galatians 5:17. It says here, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will. Hey, sorry, I'm reading for you. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lies against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the thing that you would. And that is very short. Now I go to church. I remember, you know, the time when I went to church first time. Then my father realized that I go to church and my brother goes to church with me, you know. So one day he was up early and told me, especially I'm the leader of God, you know, and I'm the firstborn. So why are you going to church? Come, let's go to matinee show. Morning matinee, you know. He never got a movie anyway, my father, so he was just trying to, you know, get us away from church. You see. And after that, bye-bye, he was upset with us because we went to church, and then, when I began to do my ministry, we had tracks in the home. He was very upset with all the tracks in the house. You see. And so, of course, there was persecution. And one day, of course, he tried to say that he is God, because, you know, after all, he was the one who gave birth to me. You know, and now these are all the persecution that comes. Of course, the pressure that comes, whether from a father or mother or from relatives or friends, you know, whatever it may be. You see, you are being pushed to be challenged by what you believe. Whether you walk in the flesh or you want to walk in the Spirit of God. You go to church, you know, you think that you are a Christian, and then just because you go to church, yeah, you confess, you go to the altar, and then you get baptized, perhaps. You can be there 1 year, 2 years, 3 or 4 years. And then the pressure comes from outside. But there are many people that go to church, as I said, they are not born again. I emphasize this many times. Make sure that you have the weakness of the spirit that you are a child of God. You see? So, if you don't have that presence of mind to say, Lord, I want to walk in your spirit, then your flesh is going to take over. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever, for whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Even though this is talking about Christians, yes, a lot of Christians are not born again. So that's why to continue. Now, as I said, it's been up, if there are many Christians, or we say, churchgoers, they think that because they've been in church for long, they confess and they repent, they think that they are Christian. But there are those that have been there long, and yet they do not feel that they are actually Christian. They do not feel that they are actually they are children of God, so to speak. You see? So, but nevertheless, the Bible teaches us, whatever you are, what condition you are now, let us continue. Alright, be not weary in well doing. Well, you know what? I get very tired now of traveling overseas. You know, you just think about, you have to pack your bag now, you know, you're tired, you go to drag the luggage to the airport, and then, you know, go to another country, and then check into a hotel, you don't even know what kind of hotel they give it to you, and then you eat the food of the land there, and then the weather, and all these things. After so many years, you get very tired. So I feel weary. Really, at times, I feel so weary of thinking, I don't want to travel anymore, you know. And but when the call comes, and when the Lord calls me to move, I have to go. And I just remember, I've been not very well doing. I just have to go on. You see. So the same thing in life. Many churchgoers, they feel weary after going to church 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Well, what is the purpose of going to church? Huh? I have been a Christian, as I said, about the age of 12. You know. So now I'm 62. So it's about 40 years I've been traveling on the pilgrim highway. Alright. And many times, there's a lot of weariness. And you feel like, just start, retire a little bit and do, you know, relax. As far as the ministry is concerned. Now, many of you have been a Christian. At least many of you here have been a Christian for 10 years. Minimum 10 years, many of you. 20 years. Alright. How many of you have been a Christian for 30 years? 30 years. No, but at least 25 years. Many of you at least 25 years. Yeah. You feel weary sometimes. Jesus is going to come. Yeah, we do. You see. But because you are born again, we will always ask this question. Yeah. But for those who are mental consumption, they go to church, they think that they are Christian. You know. They can have an attitude of tita apa. Huh? It doesn't matter. You know. Yeah, Christ is coming, okay. Maybe he'll come another 50 years. And if people who think that Christ is going to come 30, 50 years from now are those who want to enjoy life, you know. Young people especially. Up and coming. I got a great job. I can drive a car now. I got what I want, you know. But for those people like us, maybe Sister Aggie, me, and some of the other one of you who are in your 50s, oh Lord, come quickly, Lord. You know. You see. So it depends on our outlook of life. So this conception. Alright, now let's go. You are having this understanding now between. Alright? Mental conception. Alright, or conception and birth. Now let's go to the third seed now. One seed was choked by his own cord and became unfruitful. Now we know what a baby's cord is, the umbilical cord. When the seed is conceived, when they attach to the womb later on, as the fetus begin to grow, there is a cord that is attached to the uterus of the wall of the womb, alright? And then the fetus begin to form. Now the uterus is that which supplies the blood and the food and the nutrients, okay, to the baby. Alright, to the little fetus. So in the same thing, people go to church. They are all little feeders in the church. And the word is what supplies the blood. Okay?
or and the life that is and the nutrients to the one that is hearing the word. Take heed how you hear. So we come hear the word by because the word of God is life. So we come to church, we listen to the word of God being ministered to us. So we hear this word coming to us. Now, it comes such a time that there are a lot of people come to a point where that the word of God that they receive is supposed to give them life, or even choke them to death. Alright, let's go to the word of God. Jude chapter 5. Jude chapter 5. And 6. Alright. Very short chapter, huh? Jude 5 and 6. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chain, in darkness under the judgment of the great day. You see that? What the Bible says? That God, Jude caused the Jude to remember anyhow, that how did God, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them because they believed not. Be not deceived. Oh yeah. You can hear the word right now.
Oh yeah, I'm a believer.
Huh? But after a while, the same word that you came to believe will judge you. Will judge you. Because there will come the point in time when the words get more, become clearer to you, but you find that is objectional. Then the word will judge you. The very cord that supplies life to the baby could even kill the baby. James, chapter 1, and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. When you say you believe and you don't do it, are just like this children of Israel. They came up under Moses, they said they believe, yes, we believe God is going to give answer to the promised land, we follow you. Once they came out in a moment and grumbled this and that, okay, God dealt with them still in patience and grace and mercy. And yet when they wanted when they were told to cross over into the promised land, oh no, they cannot have it because what the giants do there. If you can believe God is smaller thing, you cannot believe that God is big thing that He will do for you likewise. Now, lots of people here in the end time message. Oh yeah. The brother, sisters over in America wrote me. You know, the Piper family. So, Brother Gawi, just 3 days ago, we came across this EDOH website. EDOH website. You know, it belongs to this Dalton Bruce. And he said, wow, we didn't know. You know, this preacher is preaching about what other preacher preach. He's a preacher of preachers criticizing what they preach. If you ever go on a website, you know, just start EDOH. And he said, wow, you're one of them that he really come after you. Oh yeah, of course. You know, a preacher who doesn't know the Bible, the preacher who read other preachers' messages, and then find out as long as this person says things that the Brother Branham does not say, alright, or this person does not use the code of Brother Branham as his absolute, he is a heretic. That's the preacher. I don't know who sent this man. I don't believe it's Christ. Christ sent a man to preach his word, not to preach about other people. You understand that? So as long as you are not a... And he said, well that man, the preacher said that he's very glad to be a Branhamite. Oh, I'm so sorry. I have a lot, I heard that so often. You said all they have is a mental conception of this message that God gave us. You hear the word, well, we know, simple.
On the day of Pentecost, what did those hearers ask of Peter and the apostle? Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Now they did not have a mental consumption. Huh? They know what they are here. They heard already. They heard all these speaking in tongues, different languages, and those from that their own country. Huh? Heard what they were said. What was said? And then Peter finally expounded the whole thing. These men are not drunk. You know, you heard what they have said, what they have preached, what they have uttered, and so Peter expounded the word. And they were cut to the bones and the marrow of their hearts and said, so what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three simple action, you know, instruction. Okay, you have to do. Repent, be baptized, and then receive the Holy Ghost baptism. Now, if we don't follow through, then all you have is, that's what you want us to do, but I believe in my heart. That's all I have to do. That is not a way that you can do like this. The same thing, the entire message, program came with a simple message. What on earth is that simple message? It's to bring us back, call us out of denomination, and bring us back to the Word and say, this is what you should stay on. Come out of all the system and come into the Word. But how many of these believers today are actually doing that? They only hear the Word of the man, but they have not heard it right. They didn't hear it right. And that's why they cannot follow through to what the message is all about. You see? And if you say that, well, I'm glad I'm a believer of Brother Branham. Oh, that's just a mental conception. I believe Malachi 4:5 and says, yeah, that's what the devil does, so he believes that too. You know, I believe in a serpent seed. Yeah, the devil believed that, and the whole orders for the angels, they believe that too. You can believe anything the Bible said, but if everything is only a mental conception, you don't have the life. I'm sorry to say that that's a fact. And I said this before. If the rapture is for every Tom, Dick and Harry in every denomination, regardless of your denomination affiliation, whether it's Lutheran, Episcopalian or whatever, if God will take all the followers of Brother Branham, because they confess Malachi 4, 5 and 6, Acts 2, 38, Revelation 10, 7, and all these things the Brother Branham taught about, and put you in the rapture, then I tell you what, God is duty bound to bring all the denominational Christians also in the rapture. Because what different are these end time message believers compared to the denomination? If what they believe is only another conception, yes, this is what the prophet said. Yes, this is what our church said. Yes, this is what our system said. You can say anything that you want to, right? If it is not the truth, then you don't have the Spirit of God. You don't have the life. Because what sets you free? The Word of God sets you free. You see, I received also an email on Thursday or Wednesday. This woman, sister, wrote me. I thought it was a man because it's 48 Thomas. But then she signed her name off as Angela. See, I came to your website by chance and I enjoy reading it. I didn't know you have expounded some of the things that Brother Bam never gave in detail. Brother Bam left us hanging many places in his teaching that we still want to try to figure out the meaning. So when I read your serpent seed, the original seed, I came to a better understanding. Even your logos about the Godhead, I came to a better understanding. But I have a problem with the two shall be one flesh. You know, how the Brahman speak to the dust, they speak to the dust of the earth. You know, and then how does the two shall be one flesh? I didn't quite grasp what you are saying. So I told her to go back and read slowly. She said, everything is there, but I give her a little exposition anyway. And then she wrote back and said, thank you, now I understand. You see, You see, the very fact is this. A lot of people can just simply quote what Brother Branham said. But you, that's what the prophet of God, I told his sister, that the prophet of God had a habit of speaking mysterious ways. And speaking mysterious ways. Putting forth mysterious statements. Right? If you were living a day or 2 years ago, you're destroyed that way, 3 days, raised up. Unless you eat my flesh and my blood, you do not have eternal life. You know, all these are very peculiar statements. If you live in those statements, it's uttered, you won't know a thing. As you just speak parable, you don't know a thing. They tell you, yeah, we understand, yeah. If you just drink his blood, eat his flesh, you must be a vampire. What? Destroy this temple in 3 days, ministry of craziness. So you may have your mental conception. But the prophet speaks in such a way that if you don't know what he's trying to tell you, then you're going out of the line of the Word of God. But don't believe it. There are people that say, Barbara said so, but here in Singapore, that we are going to speak the Word and life will come forth. Yeah. Yeah, because Barbara speaks square of life, right? Yeah. I'm going to speak square of life, okay? I will speak a dog to life, eat the squirrel. Okay, alright, okay now, then I will speak a dinosaur and eat the earth. I mean, all these mental are speaking, and what are you, trying to challenge each other by using the speaking of the word? Everybody! That's what the brother confessed over here in Singapore. Everybody, but again, the promise that every member of the bride will be able to speak and have the power to heal, to raise the dead. Wow! You know what? I mean, you're fantasizing in your head. You see all these movies. Superman, Iron Man, Dinosaur Man, Power Man. Then you would say, oh, if I have the power, yeah. Try to do this. You know, we imagine it to be able to do something what we want with the power. I can tell you one thing, you know what? Let's take my example. If you have the power, well, like, what is this? Fantastic Four character, the one we can throw the fireball. The torch. Yeah. Alright. So if I have this power of the torch in my hand, if I walk down watch you, anybody be like, you will want to do that, won't you? Sure, we will. Because you just imagine on the road, you know, somebody overtake you on the road, rich people fight each other. Okay, I got my car, you home, mama, you home, sir. After the top, open the window. And then his car will blow up. Blow his tire up or something like that. Not to harm him, but to break him down. Or he might have the power of what we call, that Memecto thing, you know. His mind can control things, or mind can control that. He will think about his powers. Car will stop. Car will stop, break down in the middle of the road. You know, if you have a traffic jam, you're in a hurry. Stop every car. I can tell you, human beings are like that. They're so carnal. The imagination when you do certain things, you think you have the power, you will do good. And if you are the Christian, do good, I want to go and heal everybody. You know what I mean? I can't tell you, this is foolishness. Do you understand that? I told her sister, Jesus Christ, Adam was the Son of God, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, right? Jesus Christ had the power of the Word, so did Adam have the power of the Word. But you know, it doesn't mean that Adam can speak, that's the people of Son. Then why did God create a woman? And he did Adam. Then why did Jesus Christ not go around doing all this miracle? Why did he have to wait for the Father to show him? Is that right? So I, the Son of Man, cannot do anything until I see what the Father do. Then I do likewise. Jesus Christ must subject to the will of God. Not that I have the power of life and do this. Oh, I'll tell you, if Christ had to subject to the Father, what do you think about us? It doesn't get to everybody. That's the thing about it. If we're happy, I can tell you all be happy, right? Well, sure. You know, the first thing that God will have when he has the power, and Jenny has the power, Jenny is straight from my foot. He will have you happy with the healed foot. Huh? Sure, isn't it? Then I was a brother, can you pray for my eye? And the sister, I can pray for her eye. Everybody wants to be here, everybody. Yes, sir. Then sure. What happened to the whole world? Everybody says, wow, your eyes, who did that, huh? I did that. You want to get healed? Great boy. So all this mental conception is a thing that is a problematic to this entire message, people. So if you don't come back to the very thing that God wants you to be, is to come right back to what he says. The will and the purpose of God must be understood and followed through. Not your mental conception. Yeah, this is a prophet, he said this, I believe this, this, this. In the end, what? They quote the scripture. Believe the prophet and thou shalt prosper. That has nothing to do with doctrine. You understand that? The prophet asks him, do you believe I'm the prophet of God? Huh? That I pray for you and you'll be healed? You believe it. But it has nothing to do with doctrine. Elisha and the woman, anything to do with doctrine? No. You see? But you believe everything and you just grab all these statements. That's the real problem now. Alright, 1 Corinthians or Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 6. Galatians 6 verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Oh yeah. We want to be somebody, don't we? Huh? 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's see how fast you can draw your sword. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Yeah, wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. You see, so you want to really understand the gospel. Don't have a mental conception of what the message is all about. Oh yes, what Brother Ben said here, you come Brother Ben so well. You know, God is really not mocked. Why were we so you're going to read? As Brother Ben said, you know, he lay in the body of Christ. This gift, that gift. Huh? The ministry. For the benefit of the body, that's what Paul was saying. And yet today, there are churches without pastors. They listen to the tape. They listen to the tape. Brother, they take Brother Ben as their pastor. God doesn't send you a dead pastor, you know. If I'm dead, if I die next year, or die next month, don't go put my tape here. you cannot make me, you don't have a dead pastor. God would have to raise up men. You know, continual fellowship, brothers continue to minister. And then let the Lord move. It may be hard in the beginning. When I started this ministry, it takes years before you can see the fruit as it began to go overseas, not just locally. It's hard. You see, denomination will compare. Like there were several that came and talked with me. Back then, they said, oh, how big is the church? I said, well, how big is it? About 20. And then I come a few years back, so how big is the church? I said, about 20. Oh, you're only about 20. That means the church, God is not with you. You know, ours grow from 10, you know, until now we have 100 already, just only 2 years. So really, yeah, God is with us. I said, okay, God, compare us to the country. God is not with you. God is with you. So you want to compare in quantity? I said, he was shocked when I gave it to him. He said, the wisdom of the world is like that. You know, but God, the wisdom of God is better. So sometimes I don't know what I'm saying, but when the person talks nonsense, ridiculous rubbish they give, I always just take the question, turn it around, give it to them. You want to compare, you know, churches? So what is a church that can as many tens of thousands, huh? Can they compare? They have quantity. Yes, that's okay. Quantity and quantity of big money. They have, yeah. Here is a quality thing that God is looking at. God is raising those in the flock. Those that keep the word of God, those that follow through with the word of God, because that is life. That is birth. If you are real birth, that's what you stick to. To the word. You are not sticking to something which is a mental conception. And when there is no life at all. What you have here is artificial. That's only temporary. You see? So let your disciple here when we read this. Do not deceive. That is true, isn't it? First, that's what we read just now in verse 18. Let not be deceived inside. Any man this among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So what do you think about the disciples? Oh, the disciple was with Jesus. They went out there with the anointing of Christ and they went healing the sick, right? Make the blind to see, the crippled to walk, and so on. And then they were happy. But one day Jesus asked the same the question, especially to Peter. Were they converted yet? Were the disciples converted yet? No.
And Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, Peter, feed my sheep. When thou art converted, people think they come into the church and say, yeah, I repent, I'm not yet. Are you really converted? You know what a convert is? Convert from something that which you have been doing, you believing, to something that you are looking at. I'm converted from what I was to the very truth. But many people in the end time message, they are not really converted to the truth. They are only converted to Brother Branham. You understand the problem? We are not following a man. We are following the word that is in that man. We are following the word of God that the man have and point us to the word. Word will always point to the word. That's why I'm trying to explain to those that doesn't understand me. What of that was the evening light? An evening light is a star. Huh? Okay, not the day star. Evening star and day star are two different kinds of stars. When we refer to time. And evening star always points to the day star because the source of light comes from the day star. You see? But they don't understand. And they think the problem of evening light, the evening time messenger is the big thing. It's the absolute. No, he's only an absolute that points to the absolute. The stars will get the light from the sun, point back to the sun. It's only a part of the sun, not the whole of the sun. We are part of the body of Christ, we are not the whole body of Christ. But they cannot have this understanding because why? They fail to see. Jesus said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. And the more that you have, the more will be given to you. Otherwise, nothing will be given. That's why many people in the end that message is gated. They cannot go any further. You understand that? That's why Barbara said, how to teach Pentecostals? You can't teach Pentecostals a baby spiritual thing, right? Because they are dead to what they hold on to, the very little thing that they have. So there are many there. Hold on to this end time message. How can you explain anything further that God has a ministry in this end time that will break down the word? No. They will tell you that the Bible ministry is supposed to take the words of Brother Branham and break it down. No. We take the same book that Brother Branham took and break it down. The same source. And that's what Brother Nye saw in his vision. Remember? You have to take from the same source. You see. Not the source of Brother Branham, his books, but the source where he found it. So we go back to the same source. That's the Word of God. Where did Luther get his source from? The Bible, right? So let us go back to the Bible and get more of that source. You see? So every one of us who are preachers will take from the source, the scripture of the preacher. That's what we are looking at. Alright, so what about Judas Iscariot? Well, he was anointed like all the disciples, but he had no life. Because he was not converted. Is that right? The very night when Jesus Christ before he was betrayed. Huh? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I feel you. Feed my sheep. Peter, thou art power down me. Yes, Lord, I feel you. Feed my sheep. Three times. Peter, don't seem to grasp what Jesus was saying. It's pricking in his heart. Because your filial of brother is one thing from the agapo of a brother. But you agapo, we need to agapo one another. You understand? Not just the filial. Because when we are agapo, this love of God, we are talking about the scripture. We're doing with the scripture, not with our own feeling. Because feeling is a dead thing, you know. Many times, okay, I like this brother. I give him maybe I have a bouquet. Huh? I love this brother, I give him the big piece. Someone I don't like quite like, I give him the bishop. Things like that. You know, your feeling is, you know what I mean? That feeling is the feeling of feeling is very limited, you know, to what we like. That's why, you know, you have this, what we call favoritism thing. Yeah, I love everybody, but everybody don't get the same portion. You understand that? But when it comes to agapao, it's a different thing. We are looking at everybody, you know, as to the need. Okay, this brother can afford it. So give him a small portion. That's okay. The brother has much more need, huh? Okay, give him a bigger portion. Not because he deserves a small portion, but because he gives a bigger portion because of the need. You see? That's what our government is trying to do, huh? Help the poor, the rich ones, don't help. That's good enough. You see? So, if everybody here, if I give everybody $100, but to some of you, $100, you don't need it. But to another person, the $100 is a whole lot of money. Do you see the difference we are talking about? How did God pour out His blessing upon you? It's the same way. How you react to Him, how you love Him. If the more that you receive from Him, you have the power back. Alright? So, Judas Iscariot, he was anointed, but he had no life. What about the scribe and the Pharisees? Matthew 23. Alright, quickly, Matthew 23, 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which said that there is no resurrection. Okay, sorry, this 23, 23. I'm reading the wrong. Woe unto you, scribe and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you bear tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. See, what's the difference between these Pharisees and other Christians? Not much difference. You go look at your law, you look at your codes, and whatever. Alright, 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhortation and excess. And that's what true means. Many times I say something, brother, oh, brother again, how are you, brother again? How are you, brother again? How are you? But you know, it's all about words, or it's not about mouth. When we invite them to come fellowship with us in our, you know, meetings, they won't come. You know? And they will give a lot of excuses. That's why I said, okay, let's forget about inviting them, because I don't want them to be hypocrite anyway. You know, to cause them to be more hypocritical. Not the copy. So that's the way it is. The same thing with these Pharisees and the scribes. So as you read on verse 27, verse 28, it's still the same. You are like unto whitewashed sepulchre, indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. How true that really is. Preacher will take a man's doctrine. Or it was just like those extremists in end up. I take Bob Ham's book to the pulpit and start to preach what Bob Ham said from the book. But they will take the book of mine or somebody else and start to criticize and mention names in the pulpit. So and so said, but again, or whatever, you know, put it here and there. He's a liar, he's a heretic, blah, 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 blah. What is it? And you say you're supposed to love your enemy? Huh. Even as I said, very people who are close to me, ministers who are close to me, associate with me, did the same thing. Why? Because something that I said touches their nerve. You know? Back in those days, somebody that we thought maybe used, great use of God to sort of, his ministry was sort of bring those Branham extreme followers of Branham out of the system. Because he was caught in it and then he preached against it. But it was not meant to be. When we were there, we were seeing a different story. Like I was with a brother who went over to America to see. He wasn't. And there were certain things that were done that was not done right. You know, I gave him, I believe it was $100. I told him, I said, could you send me some of the videotapes and the tips that you have? He said, okay. They never came. Why? Because when I came back east or west, before I came back, I was in my sister's home. I wrote him a letter and telling him about something that was going on because of what I see, you know, manifest because of what I heard among the people after they left the fellowship in the restaurant. It just happened that the thing that he said was not true. I never tell nobody. But it happened at the table, I was asked this question. That has something to do with that, what he said in the book. And they just said, Brother, why? Tell me why. So what am I going to say? I just told him the truth. I said, well, I was never asked to preach. Why didn't you preach, Brother? Why didn't you preach? I said, I wasn't asked to preach. Huh? Then why did the preacher tell the lie on in the pulpit? So you're going to ask him. And I relate this incident to the brother. But you know what? He doesn't like it. And the thing that I give, the $100 I gave him to him to send me the videotape and some tape, never, never, and I received nothing. And yes, later on he can try to call me up for help through a brother. You know, and the brother said, you got Brother Gans' telephone number, you have his address, why don't you just call him up straight? And he remind him what Brother Gans has said in his letter to him. And said, Brother Gans wrote you a letter, but you never replied. So, oh, I was too busy. You see, the lying, hypocrisy of men who so self-righteous, put a pulpit of a holiness and everything, and jump and shout and say, the Holy Ghost, truth, and all sorts of things. Acts, a manifestation that you see, like Benny Hinn. So don't watch all these outside, you know, all these show, you know, like the Pharisees and the scribes, all these big skirts they are walking around with. You see, that's what it is. A lot of happened. Jesus did not walk in among the public, among the public, like this. Does he? No. He walked around as a common person, the common folk. And he was a common man among the common folk. He doesn't act big like a religious pharisaical type. He dressed common with the people. People touches him, don't shoulder with him, you know, when he walks around the crowd. No, nobody feel anything because it's not like a woman who touched like his garment, right? Because of him. But these people are just touching, common people touching, they don't feel anything, Mr. Sir, he's just a carpenter's son. You know? But we have a lot of self-righteous religious pharisaical types that walk around acting, I'm so great, and all these things. The whole thing is that I can tell you one. I feel so sick of it when I see all these things. It doesn't make sense. So, we need to come out of that thing. Don't be like those with the gift. Matthew 7, 21-23. We know that many come to me and Jesus said, Lord, Lord, I have done this in your name. I have done that in your name. And what does Jesus say? I never knew you. Is that right? That's true, isn't it? You see? But he that doeth the will of my Father. That's what God is looking at. So search the scripture. Search the scripture. John 5, 39 to 42. Alright? You got it? Alright, search the scripture, for then you think you have eternal life. And here are they that which testify me. And ye would not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. And then we have foolish people that are building houses upon the sand. But we need to build houses upon the solid rock, not the sand. Alright. Now let's go to the fourth one quickly. The other lived on but with defect. So this child that is born with defect, the fourth one. I mean, it may be a problem with the eyes, a problem with the mouth, all this, right? But it still have life. At least it's not choked to death by the cord, but still have life. So the same thing we have today, Christian girl church, but they have defectiveness in their life. You show them the truth about the word of God, you say, oh, well, there's no more apostles today, no more prophets today, they're the best Presbyterian church, you know. And miracles, oh, no more miracles. No more miracles, a lot of miracles are out there. It's a great miracle, they are fake, what I tell you. Of course they are fake, because the devil have to impersonate and deceive, is that right? Sure, you see. But all the fake now, they are few, man, that are true. Can you see that it's the hand of God? No, they can't see. You see. As part of our spirit, they will tell you that, what about end time message followers of Brother Branham? You tell them about the truth that God has given us, a five-fold ministry? No, they are absolutely still Brother Branham. There is this defect, they cannot see it. They are defecting their understanding of the revelation of God. They can't see it. You know. But they continue with their life. Okay, they continue with their life. You see, sometimes this child that is born defect at birth. But there are some that develop defect in later life. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? We take for example, there are people that came to the message. Okay, they are example. That years and all this, then problem comes and this and that. What happened? Okay. I don't think there's any truth in it anymore. It's all this confusion and fight over this. Cannot be. See, God cannot be like this among these people. You know. But of course, God is not like that. It's the people. They don't see it. So what? They left the church. They go back to the charismatic church, or they go to the Pentecostal church, and they go here and there and there for I don't know how many years. You know. until their defects build up, maybe as they begin to say, realize it's a little bad, the truth that I have, and then they examine again. Yes? I believe some of us here are like that, right? We all have been going through here and all this stuff. I was in the beginning when I said about this message, I thought, oh, really well, I was told, quote what the prophet said. Say exactly what the prophet said. You know, the word is not mentioned. It's not saying what the Bible says. Say what the prophet said. Say what the prophet said. Until I was confused a little bit, you know, well, I almost fell into the defect. You see. But God warned me and gave me a faith and sorrow in my heart to realize that I need a healing and I need to go back for the word of God to be healed. You see. So don't be like the prodigal son. But the prodigal son is an example of defect. Child, God, right? I was once in a backslid and I came back to the Lord. You see, God like a lost sheep. A sheep is a sheep. If you are a child of God, you are a sheep of God. But sometimes the sheep get lost because why? They want their own way. How many of you want your own way? Sure, many of us sometimes want to do our own way, isn't it? Huh? In the parable of the feast, marriage feast, Matthew 22, quickly, verse 9 to 14. Go ye therefore into the highways and many as you find, bid to the marriage. There was a marriage that was given by the certain king for his son. But all those that were invited give all kinds of excuses. Well, you see, my friend, when it comes to baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, then that's not important. It's your heart that is important. So he's trying to replace what Jesus said in the Bible, what the Bible said, to about a human feelings and relationship with God. You cannot say that it's God knows your heart. It's your heart that is important. It doesn't matter which boat you are going to baptize. You see, in the name of Jesus and your Father, it's okay. That's not what it is. He even asked me a silly question. Tell me, Richard, when John the Baptist baptized the people, what name did he use? I said, you are asking a silly question. You know? I said, that's just a plain silly question. When in the Old Testament, when they did all those rituals of washing, was their name mentioned? No. Surely no. And when John the Baptist came preaching the gospel, okay, what gospel was it? When Jesus came later and preached the gospel, what gospel was it? Are they the same gospel or are there some slight difference in those gospels? You know, you need to know the dispensation of time. How God will introduce something as He goes along. When John came baptized preaching the gospel, he was preaching about the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is to come. Is that right? He was pointing to the Messiah. So the baptism is one thing. Huh? Something that has no name mentioned about it, but baptism for the regeneration. Baptism to the believing of the gospel that was to come. But when Jesus Christ talked about the gospel, the disciples were there. They wasn't baptized in His name. They were not. You see. So after that, when the Holy Ghost is come, then they understand what Jesus meant when He did the commission. So the baptism of Jesus' name came in. You see. So you need to understand the dispensation. Don't put the horse before the cart. That is the issue. Alright? So here this marriage feast, all the excuses, so finally, the king said, go and pick up any one of those outside. Just bring up how important it is. Alright, then we have 24, verse 45, 51, we have the unfaithful servant. Yeah, we always have those that are not servants of God that don't conform to that which God wants them to do. And be unfaithful to His very direction, instructions. And what about the temple gene? Matthew 25. You know, but genes. So we have 10, I mean 5 foolish, 5 wise. What kind of virgins are you? You know? So the 5 foolish virgins are defects. The 5 and faithful servant also is a defect. But they are still his servant. They'll be cast into the outer darkness. For his foolish virgin, sure, they'll go through. You see, all the defects in life must undergo a
surgical procedure. Right? If you have a crooked leg, you want to make it straight, you go for a surgery. Huh? So the same thing with this unfaithful servant, the foolish virgin, and about the one in 25, Matthew 25, 14 to 30, the one who put the talents and did it. Right? And what did Jesus say? He that have, what more will be given? He that have not, he will be taken away from me. That is true. The thing which God gave us and we don't use, it will be taken away from us. Yet we are still His. And it's true. Because we have life, only that we have this defect. You see? So, make your life like the Word of God heal you. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. For all the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work of by which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's what it is. Correction. When you are defiled, you need to be corrected. Test it. How do you know you have no defect in your body? Are you sure your lungs is okay? You can't see. Go for a checkup. Check up with the x-ray. Check up with the Word of God, so to speak, like the Word of God, your x-ray in your life. So if there be any defect, go for a surgery, go for a repair, go for a healing. And so we come to when we find out we are not right, get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. You see? Alright? Then of course all the other verses of the scripture, Revelation 3:19. If you can type it quickly on the electronic. Alright, as many as I love, I rebuild and chase them, desirous, therefore, and repent. And then we have Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 13. Alright. Verse 5 to 13. And ye have forgotten the exhortation we speak unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye have your chastening, God dealt with you. Deal with you as with son, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore, whereof all are partaker, then you are bastard and not sons. Furthermore, we have a father of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partaker of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the principal fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up your hand which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight a path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. So let us go back to the Word of God, be healed. That's just how important we're talking about. Alright, Psalms 118. And now, Psalms 118. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death. That's what God is. He chastened us, correct us, but he will not destroy us. Okay, if we are born, that's what I'm talking about. But if we have nothing but a conception like the children of Israel, God will destroy us. So if we say that we have birth, God will not destroy us because we cannot die. You understand, we are his children. But we are nothing but make believers. Come into church and say, we believe in all these things. We can be choked by the words that God gives us. You see? Alright, 1 Corinthians 11:32. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are sitting about that we should not be condemned with the world. That's what it is. Now the last one. The last and the fifth woman had seed that came forth at birth, whole yielding life and fruit unto her. This is true birth. Alright, complete, fruitful. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we have verse 13 to 17. Thessalonians chapter 2,
13-17.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation, to sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Alright? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us, have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. So you're hearing life, you're continuing the word, not like the uncomforted Jew of the early church age. Huh? Those early church age, when those uncomforted Jews, every Sabbath day they heard the Moses' book being read, they heard the prophet's word being read, but yet they were not converted. They were not born again. So don't come to church and not being converted. Then you become a sorrowful state. Okay, John 3:5-6. John 3:5-6. And he said, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, which is born of spirit is spirit." Chapter 14, verse 21. "He that hath my commandment keep them, he is he that loved me, and he that loved me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest to him." 23. Judas, Jesus answered and said, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Verse 24, "He that love me, not keep not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." Lastly, a few more verses here. John 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, they should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." 14 and 15. "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I make known unto you." You don't remember how Abraham was a friend of God. And that everything that God intended for Abraham to know, God revealed to him. So likewise the same. You know, we are no longer his servant. We're not just children of God. We are friends. Friend is someone that you confide in. All your thoughts and your secrets. 1 John 2:3-6. "Now, hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He that say, I know him and keep not his commandment, is a liar, the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that say he abide in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." So if we say that we know him, and but not keep his word, then we are liar. Now, he said we know the message, we believe the prophet, yet we don't follow the word of God, but just simply quote the Bible, then we make ourselves alive. Because the message put us back to his very word, and his very word of life. Lastly, 1 Peter 1:3. Okay, so now we finally in the closing, if the baby is in the mother's womb, all that is there is nothing but a conception. Alright? There may be joy going into the church. But you see, in the mother's womb there is still all darkness. There's no light in the mother's womb. People may go to the church and they think that they are in the church of life. But their own denominationalism is darkness. The only way that we have true life is to come out. That's what the truth set us free. But too many who are so religious, like the religious Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they think that their system provides the light. Do you remember that? Huh? They thought that they have the truth. But they did not have it. And Jesus said that, you know, you're all blind. And not seeing it. you see. And when the leaders be blind, when the teachers be blind, all the disciples are also born blind. Automatically. Because you are sitting under that system, sitting under that leadership that is blind. So we need to come out, and that's what the message is. Come out into the light of God's word. That's why we have the true light. We preach the real light. And so until you have that, you don't have the truth. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Unto a lively hope. We have Christ in us, we are supposed to be alive. But in denomination, it puts you to death. There is death in the system. Is that right? What God said in the book of Revelation? How He was warned to come out and hurt my people. Because God says, I will pour out my plague upon the mystery of Babylon and all her harlot daughters. So the only way to have true life is to come out. And that's what we talk about. Real birth. Real life. Not just mere conceptions of what we have in our head. Whether we say we are a Christian, just because you go to any church, even in this church, doesn't mean that we are a real Christian. We need to make sure that you are born again. And but when we come to the whole church body, people go into any denomination, they say, okay, we are a Christian, alright. But you know, they still don't realize that they're in darkness. And they need to come out into the truth. Because after all, this message is to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. We know that as long as you are born again, whether you are in the system or not, if you are born again, you are born again. But as we know from the learning of the word, God will still deal with us because we are His children. And if we are His children, we will come to the truth and be truly set free once and for all and breathe the life of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for this truth of yours, Father, in thy holy word, and make us to see, Lord. You understand we need to be born again. It's not all about what we feel, O Lord. And it's nothing about just what we hear, O Lord, that we think that we have life. But Lord, it's the birth that is important. When the Spirit of life comes in, Lord, and then we breathe the life of the Spirit of life of God, that's when we have life, true life, Lord. So Father, we thank you, and I pray that, Lord, that every one of all your children, O Lord, that thou have so called out from this world of darkness and also from the systems, Lord, that everyone will continue, O Father, walk in the light and knowing, O Father, the importance of this life in us, that we continue to walk truthfully, O Lord, and be obedient in keeping your word and your commandments. Help us all, Lord. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.